Okay, thank you very much, Mrs. Davis, Shusra Wialgis, and all the faculty. It's great to be here. So wonderful to be here. Nala is a wonderful school. I'm privileged to know many of your teachers, such an incredible staff, and of course, incredible students. Thank you so much for coming. So how big is this incentive? What are we missing? How big is this chumash thing we're missing? The parasha, how big is it?
Not big.
Not worth it. Hopefully it's worth it. I'm kidding. All right. Hopefully worth it. Hopefully, so good to be here. Really, really excited. Why does it have to be so hard? Why does life have to be so challenging? We're now holding in Sefer Bereishis, and you just look through the stories. Very exciting, very compelling, a lot of twists and turns, and it's all over the place. You look at the Avos, the Imahos, filled with challenge after challenge, hurdle after hurdle. Look at Avram and Sarah, weren't blessed to have any children for decades. Decades they couldn't have children. Such a challenge. Finally have a child. Avram's commanded to slaughter his son. Wow. You look at the life of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu did not have it easy. A twin brother wants to annihilate him and execute him, and he's a fugitive. He has a conniving father-in-law. His daughter, unfortunately, is violated. He thinks his son is torn to bits and pieces. It's horrible. It's so difficult. It's so challenging. And story after story, Yosef with the brothers, the struggle, the back and forth. And you look through these parshios. We have to ask the question. This is the Torah's Chaim. This is the book of life. This is our compass. This is our oxygen. What's it teaching us? Why is it so hard? Why are the lives of the Avos and Imos so hard? And by extension for us, why does it have to be so challenging? So look at source number one. Who wants to be a brave soul and tell me the context of source number one? There's always that first one. Not all at once. Who wants to be, what's the context? What's that? I know the Nala student body is very prestigious, very educated. Who wants to be the brave one? Where's the context of this first pasuk? Oh, what's your name? You got to say your name, though. Uh-oh, she didn't know that.
Sorry.
Aim class and your hobbies and your interests. I'm kidding. Yeah, go ahead. Kalor captain. Yes. Well, what's your name? What's your name?
Sarah Moskowitz.
Hello, Sarah. Okay.
This is by Akeda
Itzhak. Whoa. Did she get extra credit for that? Very good. Very good. We'll give it a look. Okay. All right. We'll work on it. Okay. Very good. Very good. This is by Akeda Itzhak. Vayhi achar hadvarim ha'ele. Ve'elohim nisas Avram. Right before the Akedah, after these moments, Hashem tests Avraham. And it's going to be a monumental test. The one of a lifetime. It's Mount Everest. Akedah Yitzchak. And the Ramban Nachmanides, the beautiful medieval commentator, you can learn a lot of Yisodas, a lot of foundations in Yiddishkeit from the Ramban al Torah, explains, what is this purpose of a test? Ve'elohim nitzat Avram. Hashem tests Avraham. Inyan and Nisaon hi ladasi. What's this purpose? What's the goal of a test? Says the famous Ramban. The actions of a person, it's in his hands. We have free will. The actions that we do and that we don't do is in our jurisdiction. It's in our hands. In yirtzeh yaseh, if you want to do it, you're going to do it. Vimlo yirtzeh lo yaseh. And if you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. Yikra nisayon misad hamenuseh. So what's this test? From the vantage point of the tested party, by the individual. Hamanasi's Barach, the tester with a capital T, the Ribono Shel Olam. Remember this, is such a beautiful line. Yitzave bo lotzi hadzaver menakoach el apoal. Wow. Why does Hashem test us? Why is life difficult? Why is it challenging? Hashem wants to bring forth the potential to the actual. Hashem wants to bring forth all that incredible stuff that's lying inside, that's untapped. Bring it forth to fruition. Liolo schar masa tov, that we should have the schar for a good action. Lo sachar lev tov bilva, not schar lev tov bilva, not just have a good heart. Says the Ramban of Foundation, and please remember this forever. Why are we tested? Why does the Ribono Shel Olam, Avinu Shebashamayim, who loves us so much, why does he test us? Because we have so much potential. We have so much potential. Each and every one of us, we have a very special neshama, a very special task and mission. And we have something inside of us. But unfortunately, many times, it lays dormant. It doesn't get actualized. For many reasons. and very various reasons, it stays inside. We're tested to bring forth that potential to the actual. We're tested to make sure that we could grind and show grit and determination and come out on the better side. To bring out the best version in ourselves. Tests are for our benefits. It's challenging, it's tough, it could be uncomfortable, it could be grueling. But it's to bring out the best version of ourselves. We have to always remember that. When we're going through struggles and trials and tribulations, the goal, Mir Tashem, is to make a better version, a more refined version, a sweeter version, a more wholesome version of ourselves. Nobody here, of course, but we'll give an example. What happens? You get back a test. Get back a test. And it never happened, not here. You get back a test, and you don't love the test grade. Does it happen at Nala?
No.
Never, right? Not with this crowd, because you all have the extra credit tonight, no? Does that ever happen? It never happens? Nobody, all right, we could get real. We sometimes get back tests. And what happens, who's going to be the, again, brave soul, when we get back a test, not to our liking. We studied hard, we put in hours, we sacrifice, and that grade is not to our liking. What's the natural reaction? Nobody, yeah, what's the name? Not her reaction, but what's your name?
Amichal.
Amichal?
No, I.
Oh, I never heard that name. All right. Trying to be polite. I'm like, her name's Amichal. Okay. That would be a different challenge. I'm kidding. All right, so Michal. That would be a different challenge that we'd work through. Okay, Michal. Okay, good. What would happen?
Someone,
not looking at anybody in the room. Okay, someone gets very upset. And what do they do to the teacher?
They get mad.
I did my research, maybe. All right, they get mad. And how do they respond? Maybe not in the nicest of terms and not in the nicest decency and midos. So that perhaps, nobody here, not for Michal, not for Michal, that doesn't have Michal, it's just Michal without the Alf. Not that that happens to her or to anybody else here. But we could get a test back. And we could get hot and frustrated. And the natural reaction might be, why? You want to go to the teacher and want to be chutzpahdik and lash out. But that's a test. It's a test for Hashem to demonstrate restraint, to show midos, to show calmness, to show level-headedness, to be able to have midos to a teacher and to be more refined. And that test, hopefully, will enable us to be more patient in future events and model really derech eretz at the highest level. Let's go on to source number three. This is the Mishnah Avos from Perakei, Mishnah Beis, going through a little chronology. Asara Doros Miadam Anoach, there's 10 generations from Adam to Noach. Skip a little. Asara Doros Minoach ad Avraham. And then there's 10 generations from Noach to Avraham. Look at Mishnah Gimel. Please, let's see if you're paying attention, the underline. What do you notice? This is interactive. What do you notice differently from Mishnah Gimel as opposed to Mishnah? Are we a bet school or a Beis school? Bees, bet?
Both.
All right, depends what middle school, right? Depends what middle school you went to. Okay. But what's Nala's policy? Bees or bet? We're confused. Bees? I don't want to start like a color war here. All right. Bees, bet. Depends where you're holding. All right. We love all Jews. We're bet, we're bees. So what's the difference between Mishnah bet, bees, and gimel? Anybody know? What do you see differently versus Mishnah bet, bees, or Mishnah gimel? What's different? Name, please.
Tamar.
Okay.
It says
it's the best name. It's my daughter's name. We love Tamar. Okay. Yes.
It says
Avinu,
not just
Avinu. Whoa. Tamar is very smart. Very good. What grade?
10th.
Okay. Is this all 10th grade?
No.
No? We have some seniors in the house?
Yeah.
All right. Woo! All right. Okay. There you go. Any junior, we can do a little call of juniors.
Wow.
Okay. They're definitely beating out the seniors there. Sophomores. So sophomores. All right. Here we go. Freshmen can be quiet. All right, sit in packs. All right, we can have an Achdus Shir next time if I come back. All right, interesting that you really sit in packs. We got to work on that. All right, we'll bring the Chever together, Ms. Davis. We'll bring them together. I didn't. It's really like a color war here. All right, interesting, very interesting. It literally packs. I think the juniors might have been the loudest, but anyways. All right, very good. All right, anyways. So what? Why would we get to that? Oh, sophomore. Very good, Tamar. Sophomore. The sophomore Tamar. She noticed very, very, very good, keen observation. It says Avinu. When it describes Avraham initially, it says Noach to Avraham. And now he's called Avinu. Why? Aser nisyonos ninasa Avraham Avinu olav ha-shalom v'amad b'kulam. Avraham Avinu was tested 10 times, and he passed all of them. The Ruach Chaim, this is written by none other than Rav Chaim Volozhiner, one of the incredible giants of our recent time, a couple hundred years ago, the famed student of the Vilna Gaon, responsible in many ways for the modern-day yeshiva system. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, his parish says, very beautiful. Asura nisyonos nidnasa Avram Avinu. 10 tests he had. Kanamar Avram Avinu. Here he's called Avram Avinu. La'ayel amar min noach v'yad Avram. But earlier, before he passed the test, just the chronology, he's just Avram. V'lo amar Avinu. He wasn't called Avinu yet. Says the Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, something so beautiful. When did he become Avinu? When does he become our forefather, our spiritual forefather? When he passed the tests. When he passed the nisyonos, and they were grueling, and they were difficult, and they were very, very challenging. That's when he becomes Avinu. He becomes Avinu when he passed the tests. And now he's the ability to be our credible ancestor and our guiding light throughout life. And he says, skip to the third line, Ki kama mido sha tzadik tarach v'yagil ha-sigan l'levana v'charav. The tzaddik works hard, and he struggles, and he fights through, and he bequeaths midos to his children afterwards. Hema keteva mutva. Now they become ingrained in us, in Am Yisrael. Uviksas yagia, and with a little bit of work, yagilazo, we will reach it. Saying a very beautiful idea. Avraham Avinu passed these tests, and now he passed on to his descendants the ability to pass tests as well. He ingrained in us a spiritual DNA. And he gives some examples. Kamosha Nira Bechush, we see, Sharabim, I'm on the fourth line, Sharabim me ame ha'aretz me Yehudim, Mosir met atzmam akidosh Hashem. You'll find many Jews, not necessarily the most learned, not necessarily the most Talmidei Chachamim, willing to sacrifice their lives al b'kiddush Hashem. Unfortunately, through our deep and dark history, Jews were able to sacrifice their lives al b'kiddush Hashem through our deep and deep and bitter exile. Where do they get it from? Who mitva banu me'Avram Avinu? It's instilled in them from Avram Avinu. Shemaser nafshal or kastim ala menuso. He went into the fiery furnace because of his belief in Hashem, to stand up for Hashem. Avram Avinu sacrificed his life. He passed that test, that Or Kasdim. He bequeathed that ability to his children. And throughout time, Jews have made the ultimate sacrifice of their life to die out Pekiddush Hashem. Why? Because Avram Avinu passed that test. And we have his spiritual DNA. And he gives another example. All the 10 tests were to straighten the path in front of us. Such a beautiful idea. You'll find throughout time, Jews have this urge. They got the bug. They got the Aliyah bug. They want to make Aliyah. They want to go home. Why? Because Avram passed the test of Lech Lecha. And he went to Eretz Yisrael. And he went home. Jews throughout time have that urge, that desire, that burning, yearning to go home. The kibalta called the abdi mishmael atov, and to accept that everything that comes from heaven is good. Minision harav, from the challenge of the famine, when it was very, very, there was no resources. Shalohir achar midos Hashem isparach. He didn't question Hashem, he didn't complain. Hashem told him about Eretz Yisrael. He finally gets there, there's no food. He goes to another spot. He didn't complain. Jews have that ability to not question, to believe that everything Hashem does is ultimately for the good. So Avraham Avinu, because he passed the tests, he now gave us the spiritual DNA to pass these tests for future generations. I want to tell a story as well. My grandfather, Olav Shalom, was a decorated World War II hero. And his unit was responsible for liberating Dachau. Maybe you learned Dachau was one of the concentration camps. His unit fought with tremendous courage and bravery, liberated Dachau. His story, anybody ever been to the Philly, the Jewish Museum in Philadelphia? No? Okay, maybe one day will. They have a section on American soldiers in World War II. And he fought courageously to fight against the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. He had a desire, while he was in Europe, to keep Shabbos in the foxhole. Keep Shabbos in the foxhole. And that's a very difficult task. It's freezing, it's lonely, it's worrisome, all alone. But he said, I want to keep Shabbos in the foxhole. So what did he do? It was illegal to send alcohol to the soldiers. So his mother took cough medicine, spilt out the contents, and put wine in. so that he could have wine for Kiddush, send over cough medicine, which was wine for Kiddush. She also sent some bread, some challah, and some salami. But he also really wanted to light Shabbos candles. You have to be very careful to light Shabbos candles, because if you light a fire, the enemies flying overhead could easily detect you, and that would be your end. Very, very dangerous. So he took some candles, put them in a can, dug a hole horizontally in the foxhole to light Shabbos candles. He had his kiddush, his wine, he had his challah, his salami, had his neros, Shabbos in the foxhole. Unbelievable mesiras nefesh, determination to keep Shabbos in the foxhole. But that challenge of keeping Shabbos there has Baruch Hashem set the tone for our family, has set a family narrative. He demonstrated a love of Shabbos, a commitment to Shabbos, and now Baruch Hashem, Bli Yan Hara, his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren all Shomrei Shabbos. When we go through difficulties in life, we grow, but we set a standard for our family. And I know maybe you're thinking, I'm in 9th grade, I'm in 10th grade, I'm in 11th and 12th, no more cheering. I'm in 9th through 12th. It matters. The challenges that everyone in this room goes through now, you set a family narrative. You set a story that you could pass on to your children, Emir Tashem, and your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren one day. It matters. Our actions really matter. And a struggle that we had and were able to overcome, we're going to be able to pass that on. We create a beautiful, beautiful story, a beautiful modeling, a beautiful, beautiful picture of what it means to pass this challenge. And that's part of the family narrative. And that's something that each and every one of us has to realize and internalize. I'm going to get better in the process, but my children will as well. My grandchildren will be better. My great-grandchildren will be better if I pass these tests. I will set a standard for my family. I'm only 14, I'm only 15, 16, 17, 18. It doesn't matter. Challenges we go through in high school make us grow and develop. And then you could share that with your future children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You're able to show and demonstrate, it becomes part of the family narrative. What you went through can make a lasting impact on generations to come. Something strongly to consider. I'll turn the page. And of course, some of you are thinking, but it's hard. Sometimes we're going to fall. We're going to fail. We're going to fall in the dirt. And it is difficult, and life is tough. And currently as we speak, we know Am Yisrael is going through tremendous, tremendous sorrows and difficulties. And in our own personal lives. But it's hard. I'm going to fall. And the answer is, of course we're going to fall. Go to source number 5, please. Mishle. Who is the author of Mishle? Whoa, that we know. Okay. There we go, Shlomo. What else did Shlomo Melech write? Okay, Tanakh Hever over here. There we go. Nada. Okay. Mishle, written by Shlomo Melech. Who's his father? We know. Okay. Very good. Easy. All right. Mishle. Ki Shevi Yipol Tzadik V'kam. The Tzadik falls 7 times and gets up. The Igros V'chsovim, written by Rav Hutner, the Rosh Yeshiva in Torah V'das, explains this pasuk very beautifully. Maybe a common pasuk, but he really wants to understand and explain at the root of it. Hachacham mikol adam amar shevi pol tzadik v'kam. The wisest of all men, Shlomo Melech told us, the tzadik falls 7 times and gets up. Hatip shim chovjim ki kavanaso b'derech rabusa, afal pisha shevi pol tzadik mekoma kamukam. The foolish ones translated as follows, Rav Hutner says. What do they say? Even though he fell 7 times, Mekom, he still gets up. This tzaddik, even though he fell 7 times, he still gets up. That tzaddik, he fell 7 times, he still gets up. It's not the proper way. He said it's much deeper than that. Aval hachachamim yodim, the second line, heitev, shakavanahi. This is what this meant by Shlomo Melech. Shemahusa hakima shel tzaddik, the essence of the rise of a tzaddik. What makes the tzaddik rise? What makes him reach his pinnacle? What really gives him the juice? Derech shem nefila shelo. It's because of his failures. Ooh, underline that 50 times. Beautiful line. His failures is what makes him a tzaddik. the failures, the downfalls, that's what makes him a tzaddik. It's through being able to brush ourselves off and get back up again. It's through falling and failing again. Doesn't say once, failing seven times. That's what makes us great. Our ability to improve, to learn from the mistakes, move forward, refine ourselves, and take on more and get to a better place. So when we say, I'm falling, I'm never going to get there, that's exactly the point. We're supposed to fall. Hashem knows this. We're human. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we have challenges. And it's very hard living in 2023. It's very difficult. But these nefilos, these failures, these falls that we have are what define us, what can make us great, could propel us to our ultimate, ultimate heights. And to never forget that. Do we have any, I think there's a big game tonight, right? The Eagles? The Eagles? We got Rivka Kessel out there tonight? No, yeah, all right. She told me she's going to have 20 points tonight. So who are the Eagles playing tonight?
There's two games going on.
Oh, two games.
Varsity and JV.
Oh, is this a big basketball school? Not yet. Okay. We're more of a Tanakh school, I guess. We know Shlomo Melech. Okay. Did we ever win yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure. One game, right? No, we're good. Volleyball school, right?
Yeah.
It's in the link, right? The volleyball school. You guys always win volleyball?
Yeah.
Okay, but basketball now. Basketball school now. So we quote the famous quote of MJ. Who's MJ when we say MJ? Okay, not just Shlomo Melech, good. Who's MJ? Don't raise your hand if you didn't know who MJ was. No, you can't. Who didn't know who MJ was? Okay. Yo, MJ, Michael Jordan, the great Michael Jordan. He has his famous quote. Maybe you've heard it, but it fits very nicely with this Rev Huttner. Michael Jordan once said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot I missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. Beautiful quote by MJ, really explaining this beautiful quote by Mishle, by Shlomo HaMelech. And we see from these past two parshios, this idea really come to fruition, something so, so beautiful. Look, please, at source number 7. So, besides Tamar and Amichal, who could tell me, please, what is the context of source 7? As we get to source 7, who could tell me the context, or who wants to be brave to translate source 7? What's your name?
Michal.
Michal, wow, okay. Just Michal, okay.
He woke up from his dream.
Which dream?
Like on Hallelujah.
Very good. What parsha is that? Very good. Junior? Which section are you in?
Sophomore,
okay. Okay, the sophomore section. What was the dream? Good, very good. And why? And let's share the love. Who? He said, very good, Michal. Who? Why did he have this dream? What's happening? Yes, Isaacson, I just met her, okay.
The Malachim were changing because he was leaving his father's house.
Good. Why was good? Let's get some more chavra. Why was he leaving? Freshman, let's get a freshman out there. That's a bold move. Freshman speaking at Mishmar, whoa. That's like a serious hazing. So what? Why is he leaving his house? Freshman, let's go. Why was he leaving his father's house? Name?
Because he's running away from himself.
Very good. What's your name?
Yaliba.
Okay, nice to meet you. Very good, Yaliba. So look inside source 7. This comes at the time, as all of you said so beautifully and collectively, Yaakov Avinu is a fugitive. His brother wants to kill him. After his mother told him to do this plan, you seem like Tanakh experts, he doesn't even question his mother. He does at the beginning, but once she tells him to run away, he says, okay, it's a fascinating story. And he has to run away from Esav. And he's a fugitive. And he's scared. And he has this beautiful dream of the angels going up and down. At the final conclusion, after the dream, Vayakatz Yaakov Mishnato. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep. Vayomer Achen Yesh Hashem Amakom Hazeh. Hashem's in this place. Vanochi Lo Yadati. I didn't know. Vayira Vayomar Manorab Amakom Hazeh. How wonderful is this place? Ein Zeh Kim Beis Elokim. This is the house of God. Vizeh Shar Shemayim. This is the gate of Shemayim. At this moment of real vulnerability, of real fear, of running away, chased by a brother who wants to kill him, not knowing his future, he finds God. He finds Hashem. At this specifically low moment is where he finds Hashem. And now we're going to see the same idea in source number 8. What is the context of source 8? Who knows the context of source 8? Let's get this side. Come on, Rivka, you know it? She's modest. Anybody else? She knows. She knows. All right. She got her. She got her. Yeah, there you go. What's your name?
Shoshana.
Okay.
After the fight with Asa's monologue.
Very good. After the fight. Very good. Shoshana. Very good, Shoshana. Don't be shy. Okay. Shoshana said it good. Very nice. This is after the fight. He's already running away from Lavan. And now he's about to approach Asa, who he thinks is going to annihilate his family. He has a wrestling match with this angel man, different Mefarshim. Vayikra Yaakov, after the fight, Shema Makom Peniel, he calls it Peniel, Kireiti Alim Panim Apanim. I have seen the Lord face to face, Vatinatzel Nafshi, and I have been saved. Rav Jonathan, Rabbi Lord, Dr. Jonathan Sachs, Zatzal, the great Tzaddik, has such a beautiful, beautiful idea on these two episodes. Exactly what we're saying tonight. Yaakov Avinu is at a very low moment, at a very challenging moment. In the first case, brother wants to kill him, he's running away. The second case, he's running away from a conniving father-in-law who manipulated him and deceived him many, many times. And now he's about to face his mortal enemy, Esav, after many, many years. And in both places, what happens? What does he see? He finds Hashem. He finds the Ribono Shel Olam. In these moments of darkness, in these moments of vulnerability and fear and being petrified, he finds the Ribono Shel Olam. And again, sometimes in these moments of struggle and difficulty are the greatest opportunities to find Hashem. The greatest opportunities to find clarity with the Ribono Shel Olam. And Rabbi Sachs writes, highly recommend this book, Judaism's Life-Changing Ideas. Each parsha, he highlights one idea that changed the world. Beautiful, beautiful ideas. That is the gift of Jacob, I'm quoting, page 33-34. And this is his life-changing idea, that out of the depths, we can reach the heights. The deepest crises of our lives can turn out to be the moments when we encounter the deepest truths and acquire our greatest strengths. Wow. Specifically in the hard times is where we reach the greatest heights. We can reach the Ribono Shel Olam. We can reach Avinu Shebe'a Shemaim. We reach clarity and have visions of ladders, of malachim. We find Hashem. These are moments of supreme opportunities of growth. I want to conclude with a story. Once of a young girl. A young girl that complained to her father. This young girl complained to her father. She was miserable. And she said, I'm not going to make it. I can't keep fighting. I can't keep struggling. I can't do this anymore. Life's too daunting. It's too challenging. I've had enough. Every time I have one problem solved, another one comes. I make some headway. I go back. 1 foot forward, 3 steps back. I take 2, 3. I can't do it anymore. Her father was a chef and took her to a kitchen. And he takes her to the kitchen and he says, I want to show you something. He fills up these 3 pots, all with boiling water. Puts 3 pots, puts the water in, and boils all 3 pots on the fire. He takes potatoes, puts them in 1 pot. He puts eggs, puts them in another pot, and he puts coffee beans and puts them in the 3rd pot. The daughter, obviously not impressed, is getting very frustrated. What are you doing? I said my life's falling apart. I don't need a cooking lesson. I don't need an exhibition. What are you doing? What are you showing me? Potatoes, eggs, and coffee beans? Come, patience, 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 patience. Fine. After 20 minutes, he removes the potatoes, takes out the eggs, and ladles out the coffee. And he says to his daughter, what do you see? I see potatoes, eggs, and now coffee. Says, feel it. Feel the potato. She touched the potato, it's soft. She sees the egg, now it's a hard-boiled egg. And she takes a sip of the coffee and she smiles. She gets happy, nice taste of coffee. Says, Father, what is going on? What are you doing? He said, all 3 of these things face the same challenge. They all face the same challenge, the fire. They all face the same challenge. What happened with the potato? The potato came in strong, tough, sturdy, unrelenting. And when you put the potato in the fire, what happened? It became soft. The egg started out soft with just a little shell, but the liquid inside in the interior, you put it in the fire, what happened? Hard-boiled egg. But the coffee was different. You put in coffee beans, and it made a better situation. It made coffee. Beautiful, rich, delicious coffee. And he says to his daughter, they all experience the same thing, but they had different outcomes. He said, when adversity comes to in your life, which one are you? Are you a potato? Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee bean? Potatoes, sometimes challenges, we could come out very tough and just get very soft and run away. We could become soft and then get very hardened by it, by the egg. But we have a third option. That whatever challenge the Ribono Shel Olam gives us, Avinu Shebashamayim, who loves us more than we could ever imagine, whatever challenge Hashem gives us, we could become like the coffee bean. Make a better situation. Improve ourselves. Work on ourselves. Grow and develop to greater heights. So Bezrat Hashem, to always remember, the challenges are going to be there. It's the way the Ribono Shel Olam runs this world. We have the models of the Avos and the Imahos. The challenges are there. And they are difficult. And everybody has their own book. We should Chas V'Shalom never judge. We leave that to Hashem to judge. We all have our own Mount Everest. We all have our own stumbling blocks. But they're hand-picked, designed for us specifically. There's Ribono Shel Olam who's running this world that puts everything in front of us that we need. And Bezrat Hashem to realize, through these challenges are my great opportunities for growth. As the Ramban says, I could bring out all that koach, all that potential to the poel, to the actual. And Emir Hashem, if we have that fortitude, we have that insight, that courage, determination, the challenges that we go through will allow us to really emerge the best version of ourselves. Thank you very much.